something a little bit new that we've been doing here at the gathering at Scott Memorial is, yeah, Bobby doesn't have to go to Sunday school. she can if she wants. I mean, we're all children of God. Amen. Something a little bit new that we've been doing as a part of a worship here at the Gathering of Scott Memorial is we've had an affirmation of faith that sort of leads us into our sermon series, kind of affirms what we're trying to grasp from the series. And we're starting a new series today called Praise the Lord. And when I say Praise the Lord, you can say Praise the Lord. And so we've just come out of a series on Job, which is necessary to feel the heights and the depths of our emotions, but out of sort of a sad sermon series where we're wrestling with all God's questions, now we're just going to give thanks because we're finally in the month of November. I don't know about you, but I really love the month of November and anticipating Thanksgiving and giving thanks to God for all of the good things. So the affirmation of faith for this month is comes from several of the Psalms, and so I invite you to join me in the affirmation of faith this morning. Oh, come, let us praise the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise with songs of praise. Know that the Lord who made us is God. We are God's. We are the people of God. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. O come, let us praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from John chapter 11, verses 32 through 44. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her were also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave. A stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, take the stone away. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, my rock and my salvation, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. None of us have come this far in life and escaped the sting of grief. Each one of us has lost someone, a parent, a spouse, a child, a friend, a relative. Relationships are foundational to who we are. We are not alone in this world. We are interdependent on the people who fill our lives. One of the core principles in my personal theology is that God gives us to each other. We are made to love God and we are made to love each other, to live into community and to depend on one another. Our scripture today and always highlights for us the breadth and depth of the human experience and our God's willingness to dwell in it with us. This scripture supports the idea that God gives us to each other. And so does one of my favorite stories from the First Testament, the story of two women, the story of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi was the wife of Elimelech, mother of Mahlon and Chilion. Her family moved from Bethlehem to Moab. Her sons were married to Ruth and Orpah. Naomi was a widow and a grieving mother. She had lost her husband and both her sons. Naomi believed that God's hand had turned against her. Even though she had her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, she felt alone in the world. She felt certain that they would be better off without her. I think Naomi was a lot like Job. Naomi was consumed by her bitterness and decided to return to the homeland, to Bethlehem. She even tried to rename herself Mara, to redefine herself in her grief and loneliness. Naomi had no other way to understand her pain and loss except to blame God. But the Lord loved Naomi, and I believe God showed his abiding love to her through Ruth. I believe God gives us to each other to walk through the journey of life. The scripture doesn't say how Naomi's husband and son died, and it doesn't really matter. What matters here is the pain and the loss. Whether you lost someone unexpectedly to a heart attack or an accident, or they suffered from cancer or dementia for a long time, the absence of their presence in your life is emptying, literally life-altering. But Ruth was dedicated to Naomi. She was willing to risk an uncertain future in an unknown land to care for her beloved mother-in-law. Ruth told Naomi, "Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there my body will be buried. I won't even let death separate me from you." They were both grieving, and they leaned on each other and created a new life together, a new future for our faith. Ruth, a foreigner, a Moabite woman, became the great-grandmother of King David, and is named in the genealogy of Jesus. In today's scripture lesson, we see another example of the power of death and the reality of loss. We see how God abides with us through our sorrow, and we see how God continues to provide new life. Jesus' friend Lazarus died. When Lazarus got sick, Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, sent word to Jesus. But Jesus didn't go to them right away. He waited a few days. He told the disciples that his illness wasn't fatal, and the disciples tried to prevent Jesus from going back to Judea because the Jewish opposition wanted to stone him. When they were on their way, Jesus told them Lazarus had died and that he had to go and wake him up to show the people God's glory. Many Jews had come to offer their condolences to Mary and Martha. It had been several days and the word had spread. Mary and Martha blamed Jesus for his death. They cried to him, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." This expression of their grief is natural. Just like Naomi thought God had turned against her, Mary and Martha believed Jesus could have prevented their loss. Jesus' heart was broken for and with them. This is one of my favorite stories of Jesus because we see that he is fully human as he weeps for his friend. He weeps even though he knows that he can bring Lazarus back. He allows the pain to exist. Jesus, God made flesh, knows what it is to experience loss. He experienced the same grief and pain that we have when we have lost loved ones. But then Jesus does something that only God could do. He brings his friend back from the dead, and then we see that Jesus is fully God. Notice Jesus' prayer. Notice that Jesus looks up to heaven. Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you have sent me. This miracle wasn't just to upend his own grief. This was an act of evangelism. The whole point was that all of his friends, all of the Jews who had gathered in grief to support Mary and Martha, would see and know that Jesus was the Son of the Lord our God. And ultimately, according to the Gospel of John, this act is what led to his crucifixion. Lazarus doesn't go on to live forever. Jesus brought him back to life, but he died again. There is nothing more natural in this life than to be born and to die. The seasons change, the world goes around, we live and we die. These are realities, these are givens in life, and yet we still experience the pain that goes along with them. We know that God hears us, and we know that God feels our pain, and we know that God didn't make us to experience pain, but it is a symptom of the brokenness in the world. And we know that it breaks God's heart. So God made it right. Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9 says, on this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained and clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces and the disgrace of his people. He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. When I read this, I feel the hope of the world, the victory that Jesus has accomplished. As people who believe in God, we don't have anything to fear in death. We can stand and give thanks to God because we know that God hears us. And we can look forward to the day that comes when we feast at the heavenly banquet. As Isaiah looked ahead to this extraordinary meal, he sees that everything and everybody will be changed. All people shall eat at the feast, he says. All people shall have the death shroud destroyed. All the tears will be wiped away by God. All the earth shall see the disgrace of God's people taken away. All. Something really big has begun by the resurrection of Christ. Jesus told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. By his resurrection, humanity is offered redemption. It's the experience of being rescued. It's the knowledge that nothing will be able to beat you. It's the trust that God is stronger than any competing threat. It's the confidence that nothing in life or death can ever separate us from the power of God's love. Abundant life is here and now. And as we wait for the completion of God's kingdom, for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, we join around the table and we experience an extraordinary meal, a feast of rich food and wine. We eat and drink in the power of his resurrection because we believe that Jesus is alive, that God has swallowed up death, and that Jesus lives within each of us. So now we take into ourselves Christ's very life in the largest possible sense. This is our Thanksgiving dinner. Because for Christian people, death does not have any power anymore. Take and eat. The body is for you. Take and drink. This is the cup of salvation. Every time that we gather at Christ's table, we hear the promise that something amazing has been accomplished for the children of God. Death has been swallowed up in victory. This table, this bread, this cup, which is the body and blood of Christ for us, gives us hope, gives us God's love, gives us all we need, and so we give thanks to God. As we consider our own loss, we take this opportunity to be thankful for those whom we have loved and lost. Let us remember that before they were ours, they belonged to God. Let us remember that God hears our cries. Let us believe in Jesus, God with us, Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Each loss we experience reminds us of the opportunity for new life, abundant life here and now. When we live into the kingdom of God, when we journey through life together, knowing that God gives us to one another and God gives us new life. Amen. Scripture tells us to be still and know that I am God. Let us take a moment of silence to listen for God's voice as we reflect on the word shared this morning. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6 tells us, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God, which is among mortals. God will dwell with them. They will be God's peoples, and God himself will be with them. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.'"